You are listening to Para X.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Coming to you live and direct from my subterranean lair, my name is Ra, and I'm here to awaken the dormant particles that are spiraling inside your DNA. So come with me as we go further down the mystical spiral of life. It's Spiral Radio, where each and every week we unveil the different shades of you, the different shades of me, until we are all vibrating the same frequency. Tonight, we have another friend of the show and my personal friend as well, a good buddy of mine. Her name is Laura Leon, or Laura Leon. You might have known her as Laura, but the right way to pronounce her name is Laura Leon. And she serves as a psychic counselor, a therapist, a forensic anomalous profiler, a spirit seer, a practitioner of holographic kinetics or dreamtime healing. She's a quantum energy shifter. She does facilitating for personal healing, and she's learned to use her abilities towards excavation of soul memories, created timelines, multidimensional realms of existence, and she's continuously evolving and learning every day like we all are. And she's come to share her interesting life and her knowledge with us, and we've had her on Spiral Radio before, everybody, and I want to welcome back my friend, Laura Leon. Welcome.
Thank you, Ra. Thank you, everyone. It's so lovely to be back. This is fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really great. And if everybody, if you want to look up Laura right now, you can find her at sovereignkei.com. That's SOVEREIGNKI.com. And, you know, if you book time with Laura for a reading and a healing session, it will truly be remarkable and a life-changing experience. And, you know, this is going to go by really fast, so I think we should just get right into it, Laura. And basically, the last time, you know, we had you on, we just covered so much, and we went so many different avenues to go down. And I wanted to maybe touch on some things that everyone didn't hear about you last time, because, you know, even though we've had you on twice before, 2 hours is just not nearly enough to talk about, you know, what really we could touch on and where we can go. And I think, you know, before we get into some of the other topics we want to talk about, because if everybody, you know, you need to stick around for the full hour, because we plan on talking about giants, ancient giants awakening, possibly in Agartha or Antarctica. We want to talk about people contacting entities and calling upon them and channeling and the dangers of this. But before we go into that, Laura, I think we should really talk about the documented case of when you had basically an alien abduction when you were, 13 years old in Spain?
Yeah, that was the first time I had an implant removed. Actually, it was removed by the police. I was and had been abducted a lot.
This was like a known sighting, right? Like, it was in the papers and everything.
Yeah, this was witnessed by over 100 people who actually saw the craft. It was in the middle of the afternoon. I was 13 years old. I was 13, and this was in Spain, in a little town in Valencia, and called Cullera. And basically, it was around 12:30, really bright, beautiful summer afternoon. Everybody was on the beach. A UFO came, and I was with my best friend, and her name was Nieves. And what happened was the craft came. We were on the little mountainous hill part overlooking the beach and the water. Before we knew it, a craft came down. And my girlfriend was knocked unconscious, but they took me. So when I was taken up, I was also knocked unconscious. But it was a different, it was entirely different than the unconsciousness that my girlfriend experienced.
Wow. And that's common in a lot of UFO experiences and alien abductions. Like, one person will have a completely different tale of what happened.
Well, I mean, it was witnessed that everybody had seen her left behind, and she was unconscious. So they went to help her. And of course, you know, they didn't know what to do because there were so many witnesses seeing the UFO and taking me up, actually. So,
whoa.
And then I was, yeah. And so the police didn't know how to deal with this. And there were a lot of witnesses. I was missing for almost 4 days.
That's like similar to the Travis Walton.
Yeah. That's what, when I read his, I was like, oh God, this, this is pretty incredible, because up until that point, I really never, came across anything that was, similar. The series of events that happened, because I don't have any memory except for when I woke up in the craft, and that was on the fourth day.
Do you remember actually getting like taken?
Oh yeah. I remember that part. Yeah.
So was, because I feel like with Travis,
but I was frozen.
Yeah, did you feel maybe almost enchanted towards it too? Like you were drawn to it?
No, I felt paralyzed.
Yeah, because it seems like Travis, in the Travis's case, not to compare yours at all, but Travis's case, it seems like he was almost enchanted towards it. Like he was drawn to get out of the truck. Everybody else
and screaming, he followed
Travis,
it.
come back, and he's getting drawn to it.
Right. Whereas with me, because I had been abducted a lot by the time I was 13, I had so many abductions and so many marks, nosebleeds, the gamut. By the time it happened to me, basically the craft came right over me. So it knew what it was doing. It came right over me, and there was like a force field that it was literally taking me up in this force field, but I was paralyzed. And I couldn't run, even though I felt like I should run, but I couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
And then the next thing I know is I'm gone. I'm out. You know, I wake up, and my experience after waking up, I had no idea whatsoever. I had been gone for almost 4 days, and that was on the fourth day. I had no clue about time. I was totally drugged. I felt drugged. I felt like, disconcerted, afraid, freaked out, didn't know where I was. I was surrounded by, I'll tell you, like at the age of 13, right? I didn't know what these things were because I'd never seen them before, but they were, I guess what you would call a type of a gray, but what I have been shown of the pictures of the grays, it's the suits that they wear, because these aliens didn't expect that I would be waking up. They actually thought that I think I would have been missing for a long time, to be honest, because they were utterly shocked when I woke up, as though it was never supposed to happen. I was naked on a metal table with a bunch of very strange technology and surrounded by these grotesque-smelling, gray-pink, wrinkly beings that were really deformed looking with huge black eyes. Like, it's not even black eyes, the huge mass eyes, but their skin was super, super wrinkly. They were giving off a really horrifying smell, like a combination of ammonia and urine. And it was so putrid, I thought I was going to puke, but I don't think I had...
Almost phosphorus-y maybe even too?
Yeah, yeah. It was like the strangest smell. It was so repugnant. And, I mean, but a huge eyes. It's just not the kind of eyes that are depicted in, like, the book Communion. That's a suit that they wear. And the reason why I know that is because when I woke up and I was surrounded by these, the automatic thing I thought of, it was like, oh my God, I'm surrounded by demons or creatures or something, right? Like, I had no idea what the hell they were. Sorry. So I realized that they were all telepathically linked and that I was telepathically linked with them. And I had to figure out a way to get out of there, but I was surrounded in the table and they had a bunch of these strange, the technology that they were using on my body was horrifying.
Like a wand?
Well, I mean, it was worse than that. It was like so much worse than that. So I was just like beside myself. There was one of the little beings at the end of the table where my feet were. And that was the only way I could think of was to kick him in the head and then run toward what I saw was an exit of some kind.
And you were able to move your limbs?
Yeah, I was able to move my limbs at that point, but I was really weak. It was sheer will.
Yeah.
Because I was so drugged and I don't know what I had going through my body, but it was just nothing but pure adrenaline and will and fury. I was so upset. So I kicked the being in the head really hard. And what shocked me was when I kicked him in the head, it really hurt him, but it hurt all of them. Like they all felt it.
Whoa. So it's like a hive
right.
kind of
yeah.
response. Wow.
It was crazy. And I thought, wow, this is so bizarre. Anyway, so I'm running. I don't know where I'm running. I have no idea where I am. I'm in a ship and I have no idea. And what I saw, the smell was so awful. The ship was filthy, dirty. It was dark, almost like not well lit. There was like grime, like old grime on things. Like the ship was like super old and nobody cleaned it. Like black grime on everything.
It seems like to be the complete opposite of what most people say. Usually it's very serene and white and clean and medical-like.
Yeah, no, this was so horrifying. You know what it felt to me? And like as I was running through the ship, I actually did see, because the smells were making me sick, everything was so gross and disgusting and filthy. And I felt like my feeling in terror was that I had been kept in some kind of like an organic mechanical womb kind of thing where I wasn't being fed food or anything, but somehow it was keeping me alive through some kind of a maybe like a
soaking into your limbs, like some kind of nutrients. Yeah,
like something that was soaking in, but it was all like the smell in the air was so gross that I felt like there were many others in there.
Oh,
and like you know, but all I could do and all I could think of was to escape somehow. Realizing at some point when I ran toward the end, I got into this circular room that was completely dark. And because it was dark, when I got in there, I could feel like I thought it was limbs. So I thought it was a whole bunch of them. What I didn't realize was I actually had run into a circular closet with their suits hanging.
Whoa.
Yeah, and when I say hanging, I mean they have some technology. It's not like us who have like a rod and then you put like your hanger. It's like it's not like that. They just hung there. These suits just hung and they were being replenished or something. It was really weird. So this is how I figured out that they wear suits and like I actually saw what they look like. So and and it's like they're decaying, they're dying or something. Like they're yeah, the smell was, I can never get it out of my head. But anyway, so once I realized where I was and I couldn't get out, I had to get out of that circular room. I just started running again in a different direction. And they were all, I could telepathically feel what they were trying to figure out a way to corral me and get me again. And they were a little afraid of me, which was, you know, interesting. I found my way into the control room. And I didn't know at the time it was control room until I ran in it. And then and the strange thing about the craft was the craft.
I'm like on the edge of my seat right now.
The strange thing about the craft was when I found myself in this control room, there wasn't anybody flying the ship. Like, there was nothing flying the ship. And there was no technology the way you and I would think of. Like, I was expecting, you know, buttons or, like, something I could push or levers, anything. And it was like, I knew it was a control center. I knew it was some kind of technology that, you know, I, at the age of 13, couldn't really comprehend. But there was a panel, and it was and the panel did have colors on it. And I realized when I went to it, now at the edge of the wall, you could see through the ship. Okay, so the ship was cloaked by invisibility, so you could see out of it. It wasn't like you were looking at a wall. It was like you were looking through it, and then whatever was inside the ship you were looking at, if that makes any sense. I had come to the realization, and at this point, they all came in the room, in the control room, all of them ganged up, and they were all together, and I could hear them telepathically trying to figure out a way to drug me again, to get me to, like, they couldn't mesmerize me or do whatever it was that they were, you know, that they thought they could do. So something interesting occurred. I realized that the ship was being flown psychically. And that there was some kind of command center, I guess you could say. So one brain center flying it somehow. And if you could, like, link in, I mean, I, you know, having the abilities that I've had since I was born, you know, things just come to you. So I realized that. And at the same time, I realized that I had to do something pretty radical for them to drop me back off, because I knew I was God knows where. I was not on ground. I was somewhere in the sky or out in space. God, I don't know where I was. So I had turned toward them. And at this point I had said to them, and this is, I began to learn the laws actually about how things work here because of certain experiences I've had through abductions.
You started speaking in your mind.
That too, but I started learning the law, like the keys of how things work, because when I turned to them and they were like creeping up closer and closer to me, you know, like you corner a dog or you corner something. And I had said to them, literally in authority, I just don't know what happened, but I stepped in my authority and I had said to them, I am royal. I am of the true royalty, and you are not permitted to touch me. And I command you to return me immediately, or I will crash. I will crash this Omni, you know, called it an Omni, right? Or I will crash it, and I will crash. I said, I will do it. I know how to do it. And they all, it was incredible because I could literally, I was fused in their minds and I could feel their terror. I could feel like they knew that they overset their boundaries and that I learned what the deal was. I'm like, aha. So, you know, they actually broke the law because they were allowed to, because I didn't know the law. The second I stepped into my authority and the second that they realized that I knew that I could harness the ship psychically somehow, like, it just all came together. They were mortified, terrified. And I said to them that, you know, because of what they had done, that they were going to, be exterminated, basically. And, you know, to bring me down immediately, and that they were never, ever permitted ever again to abduct me or do anything to me. So what ended up happening immediately was that I got, dropped off. And they were really scared of me. they dropped me off, and where they dropped me off was like the opposite side of Kyoto, which was crazy because I just didn't even know where I was.
And now your family was missing you for 4 days at this
time?
Yeah.
So the police were looking for me, but it was a rare and weird case because they had so many witnesses saying that I was abducted by a UFO. So the police were like, I don't know. We don't know how to even write a, you know, a report. Like on this, how do you write a report with, you know, that many people witnessing an abduction and knowing that I've been gone for those many days, but there's nowhere to come looking for me, although they were apparently driving around looking for me. And in fact, it was the police who picked me up when I was dropped off in the middle of this, you know, this like desert area just outside of Kyoto. And I was walking in a total daze. I was wearing this like strange little like PJ mock thing that I never even owned. I was bleeding from my shin. I was in complete, oh my God, I felt horrible. Like I felt like I'd been drugged for months. It was so bad. And just trying to get my senses together and having had those smells like permeated my membranes and my sinus cavities were it was still like all there. And just, I was sick. I hadn't eaten that whole time or drank. I think I was in some kind of a strange, you know, organic machine, like cocoon thingy that was just basically nourishing me through my skin or something. But, and I had a really grotesque layer of stuff on my skin and smell. So when the police picked me up, I was like, they were like, oh my God, what do we do? I was scratching my shin, and I was saying to them like that something was bothering me. Like I knew it was an implant because I could feel like I was having electrical impulses going through my bone. And I knew it was, I told him, I go, you got to take it out. And I was scratching furiously behind, I was sitting behind in the police car. And I had, you know, it was so bloody that they had to pull over with their first aid kit and basically clean me up. And they realized that I had like scratched, completely tore open my skin to where the bone was. And they took a flashlight. They couldn't believe it, but there was an implant lodged in the bone. And I was like, screaming for them to take it out. I'm like, take it out. And they're like, it's like lodged in the bone. I'm like, I don't care. Take it out. Right. So they took it out with the tweezers and they put it in one of their little vials that they have like in their kits as evidence. So, and that was like the actual first physical implant that was removed. Cause I've had more after that. But they didn't know what to do. I mean, I was checked out in the hospital. So they knew that I had indeed, I wasn't in any kind of severe condition, although they could tell that I hadn't eaten or I had nothing in my stomach for days. They couldn't figure out what kind of fluids I had because there was nothing normal, but I was hydrated, but there wasn't water or anything like that. So they just didn't know what it was. It was like, okay, well, just send her home. She's okay. She's, so they sent me to, and I was living with my grandparents at the time because I would be shipped off in the summers to spend my summers with them in Spain. But so they were, you know, my aunts and uncles and my grandparents were sick to their stomach. And when the police returned me, I literally didn't say a word to anybody. I was so beyond exhausted and so altered. I felt so awful. I just can't even tell you what I was feeling. It was so bizarre.
Did you ever see that friend again?
Actually, she never wanted to see me again after that.
Wow, I figured that.
I went to bed and I slept straight for 3 days without even going to the bathroom. Like I was literally knocked out for 3 days straight after that experience and woke up on the third day. And my grandparents were just, they didn't even, and the police didn't know what to do with the report. It was all like this just, and they had the implant. And then I found out when I went to go and take possession of my implant because it was like, I wanted it. I was like, I don't know what that is, but, you know, I want it.
Yeah.
But it got even weirder because the police said that they had, you know, they had somebody come where they believed that they were like government people who came and they wanted to get possession of the of the implant. They want to get possession. I don't know how they knew about it because, you know, I'm 13 years old, man. I just survived something that I'm pretty sure if it wasn't for the fact that I woke up, I'm pretty sure it makes me totally freaked out when I think of how long I would have or could have been there. Or maybe it would have been a case where they just leave you. God knows. Because that ship smelled horrid. It was like, this was way beyond just a dirty ship. This was like, there was something not right with what they're doing up there.
Yeah. And it, you know, I have so many theories right now and things that like came to me that while you were talking that, I mean, maybe we could go into later on, but
just it
being like intensely crazy like that. I mean, and not like serene and very clean and very medical, like is very like some kind of dark entity, maybe some dark entity's Merkaba or some kind of transportation device between realms, and these minions are part of it. Because I feel like that some Merkabas, these transportation devices between realms, are artificially installed into people and installed into and aligned with their heartbeat and their consciousness, and it like somehow interweaves like with all five bodies that form within our soul and lifetime. Like we have the soul, the spirit, the aura, the astral, and the material body. And I think,
but this was different.
You know, maybe it was some kind of like dark entities, manifestation, like some kind of artificial transportation device that appeared in this physical plane to pick you up and bring you through different dimensions while they worked with your internal bodies, like your astral body, your soul body.
I think that they were taking as much DNA and as much, like they wanted to take the quanta, you know, they were trying to access the soul. They were trying, you know, my feeling is that, you know, that these entities are, and they track, they track people that have, I guess you could say, a real condensed or concentrated amount of like quanta or something, because the amount of things that you can imagine would have potentially been done to me in that time span, because you got to think too, the time span on the human years or days or whatever, this is on Earth time, right? That's all, that's like 4 days. But when I spoke to a physicist who apparently he does these calculations with abductions, and you know, I told him how long I was abducted, physically abducted from here, then he did a calculation and he said it's possible that in their time, because of where they travel, you would have been missing actually for 4 months, so that they would have had access to you for 4 months.
Wow. So it was 4 days on our physical plane, but it was possible you were gone for 4 months.
Right. And which is like a really terrifying thought.
And so maybe they were dipping you in these vats of fluids and secretions, and that's how they were keeping you like with nutrients all that time.
Well, I mean, yeah, you know, I mean, it's really difficult to try and figure out or ascertain exactly what is what, because the other thing too, I had nothing in my mind for this experience. It wasn't like I read a book and had it formulated in my mind already. There was no foundation by which I could place any of the experience. It was completely out of my imagination.
But I truly believe that you're right when they said they were working with your soul, because when you were talking, it came to me that they were working with your five bodies.
Right.
Your soul, your spirit, your aura, your astral, and your material body. And they were doing something with all of them.
Yeah.
And that's why I thought even the implant might be some kind of transportation device that they implanted, like to activate it, like some kind of like artificial Merkaba, like some kind of
thing that would
make you transport through the realms, like some kind of something like that.
Yeah, you know? And I imagine they put a lot of implants in my body. That was like one that I could feel, because I could feel the electrical. I felt like I was getting shocked through my bones.
Wow.
So, like, I don't know if it was going wrong. I mean, you know, and it was my thought was, God, right? Like, how my body's probably littered with this stuff.
Yeah.
I know that whenever I go through airports, I'm always sending everything off like I've got metal. And then, I mean, it's like 100%. I'll never just go through. It just doesn't matter. I even take my shoes off. They don't even ask it. I'm like, forget it. I'm just going to take my shoes off and anything and everything I can, okay? I'll stand here in my underwear. But like, but it still goes off, you know? Crazy. And then they take a scan of me. I actually had one woman say to me, she let me look at it. And she was like, wow, you got metal there. It was like, what's, you know?
So you got shrapnel.
And I'm like, God, please don't ask me, you know, what am I going to say? You know, I just smile. Yeah.
Well, it's the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take our one and only break, and we're going to come back after this with another 30 minutes with the great Lauda Leon, everyone. You can find her at sovereignki.com. That's SOVEREIGNKI. .com. And like always, you can find Spiral Radio at themysticalspiral.com. The name of the song is Lustration by Nocturnal Awareness, which is my old band. This was written back in 2006, and it is a beautiful crescent moon out tonight, and it's transitioning from Aquarius to Pisces. So enjoy, and we'll be back with another 30 minutes after this. And like I said, it's Lauda Leon at sovereignki.com. And Spiral out.
Making Para X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para X.
And we are back. My name is Ra from themysticalspiral.com, and we are with Lauda Leon from sovereignki.com. And everybody, you got to stick around for the next half hour, because not only are we going to get into a whole different topic right now that is really pertinent to what's going on our planet and in our cosmos. But I also, at the end of the show today, we're going to go through a thing that we call Second Sight 7. And for the last 7 minutes or maybe even around 10 minutes of the show, we're going to do a psychic rapid fire question that we've done in other episodes as well. We've done it once with our buddy Masaki. We've done it with Maria DeAndrea, Psychic Maria, a few times. And it's always been a fun time. And Lauda's kind enough to do it with us tonight as well. And Lauda, I was thinking that we can go right into what we planned on discussing originally too, with these visions that many of us are having that have been tapped in, and with these, if you want to call them Nephilim or ancient giants that are possibly awakening from this stasis. And I know myself, I've had some intense visions and dreams, and even while I was awake and lucid one day, it happened to me. And it was over the course of a few weeks that it probably happened three times to me where I had visions of this, where basically I would see this crystal-type fortress, like crystals everywhere, like mountains of crystals, and then there was this crystal pyramid. And in front of this crystal pyramid was this water, but it was like digital water. That's the best way I could describe it, where it had like information and digital type stuff moving throughout the water. And on the crystal pyramid was digital type lights moving around as well. And these giants were inside of these crystal caverns, like just stored in them. And each one of them, I mean, and when I say giants, I mean they were probably 30 feet tall, you know, really tall.
Yeah.
And I feel, and what they had over their ears, the best way, I've talked about it on when I was a guest on someone else's show, but the best way I could describe what I saw over their ears, it was mechanical, but it looked like what Princess Leia's hair looks like.
Yeah, like those wheels. You know?
Like
yeah.
those, yeah, like a wheel over there, and I saw that you had posted, even my friend Masaki, who we've had on the show, has sent me pictures of the same thing that you've posted on your Facebook that I saw with those wheel-type device over the ears, and in these ancient statues that they found.
Yeah.
And I felt like it connected in the back in some type of way, but this fear came over me when I saw them, though, like it was because they were so huge. Mm-hmm. And it was, they looked like they were almost frozen in pain, like they were stuck screaming. And my impression were that this headset type device was not only cloning memory and updating memory and possibly downloading memories, but also updating the one that was in stasis with the current status of the planet, all the inhabitants on the planet, what their cerebral capabilities are, all this type of stuff that this headset was doing, possibly cloning and maybe reawakening them from a stasis. And I know some other people have had similar visions as mine, which really baffled me and scared me a little bit, because it wasn't just like the dreams of a madman. This might be something really to this, and they're possibly even in what we call Agartha or Inner Earth. And because when I read the Book of Enoch, you know, Enoch talks about these crystal caverns and these crystal things, you know?
Totally. I was going to tell you about that, too, which is so funny you brought that up. About the, I mean, you know, the other thing is that the technology that they have, because it's outside of time, I know with my experiences, the first time I had an experience where I saw that, I saw actually, it was a vision. It was not a dream. And it was in Iraq. And it's inside a cavern that's surrounded by a desert where there is a technology protecting the area. So the entrance, you would basically would be pulverized by some kind of a light technology. But I was shown it. I went inside and I saw two huge sarcophagi. And there was a female giant and a male giant, neither one of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they were surrounded. Inside the sarcophagus there were technology in certain parts of their body and there was technology in their head and on their chest and in their forearm. And I felt like what I was looking at was that it was perfectly timed as well, so that the waking point coming out of stasis or their hibernation is literally calculated. So, which tells you a totally different story about all of this, because that implies other things, that they already knew exactly when that had to be. Why? Because time doesn't exist. And if you have this kind of technology, then you're outside of time. But and what you described too, which is really fascinating, with also with the size of these giants, because I had other experiences where I have seen giants that that are trapped in mountain regions throughout certain parts of the world, who are really huge. And like you said, you know, we're looking at between 30 and 60 feet.
I know. Now, and in the book of Enoch, they even talk about 450 L or something like that. So who knows what the hell an L is or how big an L is, but they were possibly like even like hundreds of feet tall at one time. And they start generating, you know?
I think that's exactly what happened. Devolution occurred, which implies, all of this other information, because in the Book of Enoch, it talks about the firmament and how they're like the windows where the rain comes in, and then everything devolved from that point to a lesser value. But, you know, I believe that in Antarctica, there are what you would call armies of these. You know, I believe that.
Yeah, well, I think before the downfall of Lemuria and Atlantis, they were somehow cloned or frozen in time, you know, and stored.
Yeah.
You know, and there's possibly, you know, like we see remnants in Hindu history. I don't want to say mythology, because it's basically history for them. You know, the Hindus, they have depictions of these four-armed creatures, you know, that were also like male, female hermaphrodites possibly. And they were probably from Lemuria or one of the third root races or fourth root races,
right,
or something like that, us being the fifth, you know?
Exactly, yeah. And they would have been blue-blooded.
Yeah.
So, and
possibly three eyes, one being in the back of their head, possibly having a face in the front and a face in the back to see what's coming, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the intro, I mean, there's so much to talk about with regards to all of that. And the Book of Enoch also, what I want to say is that I do think that the versions of the Book of Enoch that are given to, you know, society, humanity, or the above worlders, isn't the real version. I think it's excerpts from the real version that is hidden and has been hidden. Probably, you know, the Vatican probably has it. But there's a lot of interesting, there's an excerpt in that does point to Antarctica, where they talk about, it says, "This place is the end of heaven and earth. This has become a prison for the stars and the host of heaven," which I find really profoundly interesting, because I think you're talking about the Nephilim. I think you're talking about the fallen, the giants, that they're being stored there, which, you know, it's all toward this end point and battle of this huge, you know, war of heaven and hell, which actually would bring us to that topic that we wanted to discuss earlier, because we can keep going further about this. It's just I don't know how much time we have, but we did want to talk about the dangers of calling upon things from the outside of us.
Yeah.
And that ties into all of this. Right?
Yeah, before we get into that too, I just want to point out too that to people that, you know, I feel like that the reason why these giants were frozen in time and why we don't find, you know, a lot of, and because it's Smithsonian did take some skeletons that were found, but we don't find like 50-foot skeletons, I don't think, because, you know, if you think about it, like the giants that were of like Lemuria or Atlantis, after thousands of years, they'd be buried under the oceans and it'd be dust.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? You know, and everything would be just like ground minerals. It would be no remnants of it. So no. I think that they froze in time some of these giants for whatever
reason, for cloning. An instant catastrophe occurred where it was that's what happened. That they
were
there
frozen. Probably are these giants buried beneath the ocean somewhere, you know, deep beneath.
Yeah. And I also think that, you know, all of this, I mean, there's been so much activity in Antarctica, my God. You know, when Byrd went there, Admiral Byrd had said that in his mind, he thought that Antarctica was going to be the number one place to procure resources because it was the sum total of all resources on the planet, but at an unlimited amount. And so he felt that, it, you know, everybody would have been on it, and yet nothing happened. There was one other trip that was engineered by the Navy with 400 men, none of them said anything about it, and there was nothing else to be said about it. Now, suddenly, at this juncture, at this time, there is so much activity and so much being done that it's just insane when you think about the series of events that occurred since Admiral Byrd brought this forward.
Yeah.
I mean, not to mention the lost continents that aren't even on the maps, that they don't want anybody knowing about, which, you know, is interesting because when I was young, I was taken to those areas. And that's how I even knew about, because I was too young to know about Antarctica or anything like that. And of course, I used to say also, like, the Earth isn't the way we think it is. It's totally completely different. But, you know, what is going on? There's the other thing is the Kaaba, the Black Stone in Islam. Right beside it, they had that operation that they said it was the Ark of Gabriel, but I think it was giants that they found and they relocated to the Antarctica.
Oh yeah, the giants were involved with Göbekli Tepe as well, and I even feel that they were involved with these time jumpers that were involved with Göbekli Tepe, involved with burying
totally.
It. Yeah,
totally. And they tried to bury it because they didn't want any of the remnants left, as they, you know, tried to do so with another. I mean, there's so much evidence, even now, which is amazing considering how many, you know, we're talking about eons of information being hidden and cycles of time, resets.
And we've breeded with these beings. Like, we've somehow been genetically mixed with both giants and pygmies. There was pygmy races on both poles, South and North Pole.
Supposedly,
you know. So
yeah, that's right.
There is so much in us that we don't even realize, and you know, we are made of all these different races that are off planet entities as well that are mixed in with us, and we wanted to talk about the dangers of contacting entities or having any contact with these entities or calling upon them. And, you know, I really feel like this is really important because a lot of people have misunderstood what this is all about. And just calling or praying to one of these beings, even the archangels, like Archangel Michael.
Yes.
You know, once you call upon a being, you know, and you have contact with an entity, contact... Wow, the motorcycles are passing fast. I don't know if you guys heard that. There's all motorcycles that just passed. So once you call upon an entity and you have contact, like I've said before, contact equals contract.
Yeah.
Once you call upon them, you know, it takes energy for them to manifest. So you have to pay for that. You owe them.
Yeah.
Like, it's never a one-off. No matter what you do, once you have contact with them, you welcome them to your conscious, to your psyche, and you're saying, hello, I believe in you, I want to talk to you, you can come, you have, you know, and you have an invitation to my psyche and to my soul, and they invade that, and, you know, and they cling to you.
Well, and also that, you know, these are oftentimes trickster energies that play with your perception, so your perception might be, oh, there's an angel coming to me, right? You kidding me? They are the best at disguising themselves as whatever
you want. Yeah, people don't realize. Archangel Michael, he fought dragons.
Yes.
He's a warrior. He's bloodthirsty. He has rage. He has anger. He fought mighty dragons that took down worlds. Okay?
Yeah.
He's a warrior. So when you're praying to them, you know, these entities that have seen and have tasted blood of dragons, I mean, they can't not be trusted.
No, none of them can. And in fact, your perception of how, whatever it is that has, you know, in terms of how you see life and how you've been brainwashed to see it, there is brainwashing to all of the way that we perceive things. It is really because this world operates on hyper-dimensional, interdimensional, just like, you know, as above, so below, as within, so without. you know, these, everything that is in front of us is not what is there. We are blind to it because the technology has designed the body in such a way that it can only perceive the limited, you know, shell world, the hologram. Yeah. But really what is there are, I mean, it's an infinite amount of energies that are, you know, mostly meant, much of them are lower astral, because these are lower astral realities here until we learn how to get out. But, you know, so perception plays a huge role in this, because that's how they trick you. They'll be anything you want them to be.
We had a question from the chat room, but we're gonna get to it next time, because we're gonna start the Second Sight 7 in a second. And basically, the question from Cy in the chat room was, he wanted you to talk about lost continents. You know, ask some questions about lost continents on Earth. And basically, we were talking about Lemuria and Atlantis. Yes. And we could touch on that in a future show.
And there's an older Lemuria. There's the previous Lemuria from Lemuria. And then the origin of that comes from another world. And that's why Lemuria, Mumu even began. Anyway, that's another show. Yes.
Yeah. Lauda's a regular here on Spiral Radio. This is her third time on. So we're going to have her on really soon again. And everybody, welcome to Second Sight 7. This is a rapid fire question. This is a fun little game that we play where I throw rapid fire questions about occult, supernatural, and paranormal topics, and the psychic, in this case Lauda Leon, does not have time to think about these questions. She's got to say the first thing that comes to her mind and have an intuitive and psychic response and give it like an intuitive answer to what these questions, even if she doesn't know what the topic or what the question is, she has to say the first thing that pops in her mind.
Woo!
Okay, everybody, this is Second Sight 7.
Here we go.
Okay, Lauda. Yeah. Saturn's rings, are they natural or are they from ring makers?
Ring makers.
Okay, when I say ring makers, what's the first image that comes to your mind?
What I see is a mechanical Merkaba. It's a machine, a Merkaba, a mechanical one.
Wow.
It's like, it's duplicates through the real one.
Wow. So when you hear the name Rex Moody, what comes to your mind?
Rex Moody?
Yeah.
Oh, like I just see like an ancient kind of human warrior.
Whoa. Was Chris Cornell plagued with dark entities?
Yes.
Archonic entities?
Yes, he was tormented.
Do you think we're more towards an ice age or a global warming?
I think the sun being artificial, it's not even a sun. I think it's just going out. So the light bulb's going out, and I think what's happening is a little bit of both in a real big way.
Yeah, I agree. Did the Montauk Project really have time travel, or do you feel it was more like implanted memories, drugs, manipulation, programming, and mind control?
All of the above.
Yeah, so because, you think they actually travel back in time, you think?
Absolutely, yeah.
Wow.
But they had to have the other one to cover the other one, so they had to make sure that they had the other false, you know, cover-up and all that to make sure that the real-time projects were protected.
When you think of the Sphinx, what colors do you feel like it was originally painted?
Originally, what I see is brilliant white, brilliant gold with, like, blue and green.
Wow, that's interesting, because I had a psychic, Maria D'Andrea, on who almost said the same thing, when meanwhile other people said it was probably red. So that's interesting that you said that. Wow. Okay. You think there's hidden technology inside the Sphinx?
Absolutely.
And it'll be like opened up one day maybe?
I think it's connected to something far deeper and greater, and it goes into deep down into, yeah, I think it's a connecting device.
Do you think Lord Shiva was part AI?
Yes.
And Osiris?
Yes.
Do you think the Ark of the Covenant has any connections or possibly in Ethiopia?
Yes.
Do you think Akhenaten is buried somewhere on Earth?
Yes and no. I think he's split.
So it's like, do you think that was some kind of alien hybrid?
Yeah, I also think he was involved in Mars.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Yeah, and Cairo is called the Camp of Mars. I think that's what it actually is called.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what the name, like, what Cairo actually means, I heard.
Wow, do
you think the Fatima sighting was a hologram technology, like Project Bluebeam, or do you think it was actually, like, some kind of apparition and entity?
Actually, I think it was, I think it was actually a real event of, but it was an entity with machine. It was a machine technology, like psychic machine technology.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
You think Robert Johnson actually made a deal with Legba, some kind of dark entity for his soul?
Yes.
You think Jimi Hendrix was a starseed?
Yes.
Do you think there's something related?
A starseed that went, like, you know, wrong at the end there. But
do you think there's something related to his when you hear that he died at the age of 27, Jim Morrison died at the age of 27,
even Janis Joplin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Janis Joplin. Do you think what comes to your mind when you hear
ritual.
All that?
Is there ritual magic?
You think Kurt Cobain was a MyLab?
Yes, totally, completely, absolutely.
Have you ever seen him in any kind of MyLab situation?
No, but I had an experience of, and I didn't know it was him because I wasn't into his music, but I realized that it was him. So there was something that I did experience in
my life. I'd love to talk about in the future with that, about that. That's interesting.
Yeah. That's actually how I got involved in knowing and about his music. Cause I was like, wow, this guy is involved in a project. So, yeah. And he was very unruly. So he was hard to handle even there. So
wow.
Yeah, it was interesting in my memory of that one.
Lauda, does every planet have a Akashic record?
Every planet has a type of Akashic record. And Akashic record, as we know it, is pertaining to the matrix here. So depending on the level of organic world we're talking about determines what that kind of Akashic record is. But yeah, every place has a record of it, of
wow.
everything.
Yeah, I believe that as well. Do you think there's other planets that are using nuclear energy?
I do think so, even though nuclear energy is a really dirty energy and it's a real rudimentary kind of kindergarten type of energy. But I do believe that others, yeah, not quite as rudimentary as we are using it. I think it's more sophisticated in other realms that, you know, is attached to other forms of energies. But with the same principles, more or less. But yeah, we have the dirty version.
Yeah, that's interesting. Do you think there's dinosaurs on other planets?
I think so. I think there's I think there's everything.
Or in other dimensions?
Yeah.
Do you think they were originally terraformed here? Like a seed was like some kind of capsule or egg was put here?
Yeah, I think they were terraformed. And I think because of their extinction, their natural process of evolution was halted. So it would have had to carry on somewhere else. Because that's just the nature of energy.
Do you think there are some kind of galactic council residing in the rings of Saturn?
I do think so, yes. And I, you know, the question is, what kind of council are they?
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying, because they might be channeling, like there's some enlightened beings watching over us and looking out for us, but they might just be our...
Yeah.
Yeah. When you hear of the Japanese water demon, the Kappa, what comes to your mind?
Wow, I think of an immense dark oily substance that has metaphysical properties like up the yin yang.
Wow. Wow. So do you think the Buddha has Persian roots?
Yes, I do, actually.
Wow. Okay, one more question. When you hear the name Yaldabaoth, what comes to your mind?
One of the most ancient ones, the origin of an origin, like the older of the eldest, the elder, the beginning, the first god, the first big god.
Wow. Wow, this has been an amazing show, and that was Second Sight 7, and we are with the lovely Lauda Leon, who you can find at SovereignKey.com. That's SovereignKey.com. And you can find me, Ra Castaldo, at TheMysticalSpiral.com. You can find me on YouTube at Exploring the Ka with host Ra Castaldo. I want to thank my producer, Sarge. I want to thank Lauda for coming on. She's a great friend. I want to thank Para X Radio. And I want to thank the chat room and all of you out there. And once again, we say, Spiral out. Your love.